This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Once the guest arrives, so thank you for joining. Okay, so hopefully you can all hear us now.
Inshallah, no they can.
Can you guys hear someone saying no sound? Can everyone hear now? Just a thumbs up if you can hear me. Yes, it's working. Okay, perfect. First of all, thank you so much for joining. We are in very blessed days at the, coming up. Well, we're already in these days, and we've got a really special day coming up. So I was hoping that you could shed some light for us on the day of Arafah. I do have some questions for you. And please, if any of the guests there would like to post any questions, please feel free to do that. Of course, you don't need an introduction. I'm sure they're all very familiar with Sheikh Am Jamal al-Din. I've known you for many, many years, and mashallah, you're a real role model for me and so many others in the community. So I do have some questions. I'll start with the first one, and that is, if you could just explain to us, what is the Day of Arafah and why is it so important?
Inshallah, bismillah. Yalla bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. First of all, I just want to say jazakallah khair for inviting me, and may Allah Ta'ala give you the ajr for this talk, because to be honest, I'm the type that if I don't get encouraged and pushed, I tend not to do stuff online because I have enough to do. So you really encouraged me when you contacted me yesterday and told me, let's do something. I'm like, yeah, you know, I haven't, like, it's not a man, I should be doing something, you know. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, barakallahu fiki. Look, so in relation to the Day of Arafah, you know, why is it important? I think before even getting into that, it's important that we even just quickly speak about the virtues of these 10 days, because a lot of people still do not realize the huge virtue of these days. A lot of people think that, you know, all they know about these 10 days is, you know, you do a qurban and people go to Hajj, you know, and they don't realize, you know, the significance of these days. You know, like there's one narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that, you know, afdalu ayyam ad-dunya ayyamul ashr, that the best days of this whole world are these 10 days. SubhanAllah. There's another narration in which he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min ayyamin al-amalu as-salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allahi min hadhihi al-ayyam. Right? So, like, there's no days in which righteous deeds, in which righteous deeds are performed in those days, which are more loved to Allah Ta'ala than in these days, right? And even the Sahaba asked him about not even jihad for the sake of Allah. He said, not even jihad, except for that person who went with themselves and gave themselves and their wealth and didn't come back with any of that, right? So that's the enormity, you know, how much deeds are magnified within these days, right? In fact, you've got scholars that spoke about that. They commented on that. They said, you know, for example, that imagine that the obligatory deeds that you do in these 10 days is greater in reward than the obligatory deeds that you do on any other days. Voluntary deeds are better in reward than other times of the year, right? So this is what we should be, try to be greedy as much as you can in these days to try to really, you know, make the most of these days. Like we've got 2 days left after today, because Arafah is included in those days and so is Eid al-Adha. They're all included in those days, right? But look, let's get into the topic, you know, inshallah. So regarding the Day of Arafah, right? You know, subhanAllah, why is it considered to be from the greatest of these 10 days? One of the reasons is because on this day, on the Day of Arafah, Allah Ta'ala frees more people from the fire than on any other day. Now, we know that, like, the beauty of this day is that we know which day it is. We're like, you know, Laylatul Qadr, we know it's a day where we can get redemption from the fire, right? But we don't know which night it is. Okay, we don't know which night is Laylatul Qadr. Whereas with the Day of Arafah, we know which day it is. So it's just a matter of us making the most of that day. But you know, the Messenger of Allah said that there is no day on which Allah Ta'ala frees more people from the fire than the Day of Arafah. So that's what you could be thinking about. That's what this day signifies, you know. Besides that, imagine that this is the day in which Allah Ta'ala completed the Deen of Al-Islam on this day, right? And the verses came down to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was in the land of the Arafah, when he's in the land of Arafah, right? On the plains of Arafah. During the Hajj al-Wada', the final, you know, the final pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the verses came down in which Allah Ta'ala says, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dina." Right? This day I have completed your religion for you, and I have, you know, completed my favor upon you, and I have been pleased with you. I've been pleased with Islam for you as your religion, right? So this is the magnificence of this day, right? Besides that, also one more important fact a lot of people aren't aware as well, from the virtues of this day, is the day in which Allah Ta'ala took the ahd, like the covenant, from all of the Bani Adam, from all of the like offspring of Adam. So what's mentioned in you know, the ahadith is how, you know, Allah Ta'ala on this day brought forth from the loins of Adam alayhi salam all of his descendants until Yom al-Qiyamah, and he made every single one of them testify that he is their Lord, that Allah is their Lord, right? So that no one would come on Yom al-Qiyamah and say, "I didn't know I had a Lord," right? And you can actually find this in Surah Al-A'raf. If you look in Surah Al-A'raf, it mentions the ayah in which, you know, Allah Ta'ala, you know, he says to the, you know, the all of the offspring of Adam, "Alastu bi rabbikum," am I not your Lord? Mm-hmm. And all of them said, "Bala," right? All of them testified that, you know, he is their Lord, so that they wouldn't come on the day of resurrection with an excuse that "I didn't know I had a Lord who's Allah," right? Besides that, as we know, this is a day when the Hujjaj are in the plains of Arafah, right? And you know, I know you've been for Hajj before.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to go to Hajj. And you wouldn't believe when I went to Hajj the year before coronavirus.
Ah, oh, subhanAllah, you just made
it. SubhanAllah, I'll get back to that story in a little while. But you know the scene of Arafah. Anyone who's been to Hajj here, may Allah help us all to go back. But anyone who hasn't been, I ask Allah from the bottom of my heart that you all get to go to Hajj, inshallah, right? It's just a life-changing experience, right? On this day, you just see all of the Hujjaj. You know, the lands of Arafah is filled with Hujjaj. They're all crying to Allah, you know, begging him for his forgiveness, you know, humbling themselves, dua, you know, just spending their whole time in dua, you know. It's just an amazing experience. It's a life-changing experience. You know, you talk about, people talk about retreats, you know, spiritual retreats and all that. Oh, wallahi, when I went to Hajj, I said to myself, there's nothing on this earth that's called a spiritual retreat like what comes in Hajj, you know. Yes. But look, that's another thing that's happening on. So you've got to keep all this in your mind. Everything I'm telling you now, I want you all to be thinking about this tomorrow, because when you do that, it's going to be so much more significant for you, okay? The other thing is, too, to keep in mind that on this day, Allah Ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven in a manner that befits His majesty and perfection, as is mentioned in the hadith in Muslim, and He expresses His pride to the Malaika regarding those who are gathered in the plains of Arafah, right? You know, due to, you know, how many people gathered there, like how much have they sacrificed to come there, you know, how much they're so sincere in asking for His forgiveness and begging Him to be freed from the fire in this day, right? And what do they want? All that they do there for, what's the purpose? Because they want the Jannah and they want to be saved from the fire, right? So this is why He expresses His pride of that beautiful scene, you know, to the Malaika. So this is the atmosphere of Arafah, like, you know, subhanAllah, we're not there now, but we have to try to revive that in our hearts and homes tomorrow, bi'idhnillah, as much as we can, even, you know, just keep all those points in your mind, inshallah, it'll really help you.
Yes, that's really beautiful points there. One thing that came to mind for me, especially when I visited Arafah and I was there, and something that I read about it, which really stood out in my mind, was that it's actually the closest scene to the Day of Judgment that you experience in this dunya, because it's very, very hot. The sun does feel like it's very close to you. You're sweating. And if you look at the men, they're only wearing two pieces of cloth. There's no status there. Everybody's equal. So you can't tell the doctor from you know, the ones that aren't doing so well. Everyone's the same. Everyone's equal. And on that day, everybody's begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy, for forgiveness, to be granted into Jannah. And subhanAllah, you'll find that on the day of judgment, we'll be standing for 50,000 years under the sun as well, that we're very close, and sweating. And so it's actually one of the closest scenes that you'll ever have in this dunya that will remind you so much of the day of judgment, subhanAllah. And that really stood out for me when I did that and when you were there. So I think, as you said, it's really important, especially tomorrow, because mindset's really important. I know, because I'm a counselor, so I focus a lot on the mindset aspect. And that is, when you do, you know, go into tomorrow planning what you're going to do for tomorrow, is to really have at the forefront of your mind why it's so important to you. What does he want to achieve by the end of that day? Do you want to achieve forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you want to achieve a status in Jannah? Do you want to achieve more rewards? And whatever it is, have that in the forefront, because we do get tired. We're human beings, and sometimes, you know, our children may distract us. And as we know in the Quran, our, you know, wealth and children are a distraction for us. So you have to keep in the forefront what's more important for you on that day, and let your children participate in that. So allow your children, for example, to participate in the acts of worship, to do activities with them, to talk to them about the benefits of that day. So they're all really important points. So the next question I had for you was, what are some things we can do to maximize the rewards on this day?
Yeah, sure, inshallah. So look, first of all, as we know, most of us do know that it's a sunnah, not a fard, everybody, because I've had people asking me, what am I going to do to make up for it tomorrow if I can't fast, you know? So it's only sunnah. It is sunnah, but of course, very recommended sunnah to fast the day of Arafah if you're able. And whoever fasts this day, as a messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells us that they'll be forgiven for the previous year and the coming year, right? So that's the first thing. Try to fast if you're able. The other thing, like we've already sort of highlighted, that, you know, make a lot of dua. Make a lot of dua on this day, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he in fact tells us that, you know, this is a dua in which, this is a day in which dua is more likely to be answered. All right. There's a hadith in which he says, khayru dua, dua u yawmi arafah. Right, the best dua is the dua on Arafah. So just like you were trying to focus on doing a lot of dua in Laylatul Qadr, the night you thought was the Laylatul Qadr, the same thing you should be trying to do on Arafah, on the day of Arafah. Make a lot of dua, inshallah, because this is, you know, a chance for you, just like, you know, the last hour on a Friday. This is from the very blessed times and special times, you know, to have your dua accepted. And, you know, a lot of people might think that that's only for the people in Hajj. But in fact, if you look at the actions of the Salaf, they actually used to persist in making a lot of dua on Arafah, even if they weren't in Hajj, especially after Asr. That's the key time, right? After Asr, before Maghrib, this is the time you should be really trying to focus on your dua. And look, sisters, I can see someone saying, what if you can't fast? I know a lot of sisters always feel sad. And I've had quite a few questions already, like over this weekend. What am I going to do? I can't fast. There's so much more we can do. I'm going to be talking about that soon. But one of the things you can definitely do, no matter what your situation, you can always make dua, right? Even if you can't pray, you can still do dua. Okay, none of us are deprived of that. And I just want to mention, very important, the best du'as that you can say on this day, as the Messenger of Allah taught us, is to say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Right? So the idea is you keep repeating that over and over again. Don't just say it once, say it many, many times. That is the du'a to say on Arafah. And, you know, it doesn't matter, again, no matter what your state, you can be saying this du'a. Right? But, you know, look, seize this opportunity. We've all got things we need. We've all got things, trials we're going through, things we're hoping for. So, you know, this is the time to really seize this opportunity and, you know, make the most of this day of making dua, inshallah. And
I just wanted to add in something there, because I get this question a lot. A lot of the sisters struggle sometimes. They say they struggle to make dua. They think that there's certain thing that they need to do. I know there's etiquettes of making dua, but maybe you could just emphasize the importance of the dua is something very simple. to do that. You don't need to complicate it, because I've even had some sisters say, I don't even know if Allah will answer my dua, so I don't make dua at all, or I don't know how to make dua. So maybe if you could just touch on that briefly. Yeah.
Look, the best dua to make, sisters and brothers, is the one from your heart in your own language. You know, there's no barrier between you and Allah Ta'ala, right? And remember, like, I know people do sometimes, because, you know, I know you deal with sisters who have, like, lack of self-esteem.
Yes.
And sometimes when someone lacks self-esteem, they start to believe, again, that goes back to the negative thoughts about oneself, right? A limited self-beliefs, right? So unfortunately, so sad that someone suffering from limited self-beliefs can start to actually imagine that Allah is not going to answer their dua because they're not worthy to be answered.
That's what happens.
But if we have a look here, what are you focusing on? It means you're focusing on yourself, but you forgot to focus on Allah, who is Al-Azim, right? Who is the most magnificent, who there's no dua that is too trivial or too big for him to answer. You know, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask from me, then tell them I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer every dua when of the person who calls upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. You know, Allah Ta'ala tells us, you know, ask from me and believe in me so that you may be guided. Right? So this is never, ever put barriers. You know, those barriers, it's just often sometimes you need, that's what the work you do is actually important, because sometimes because of people's own perception of them, you know, perceptions of themselves, unfortunately, it's actually blocking them from having a richer and higher level of, you know, spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're so focused on themselves and putting themselves down, and they don't realize who are you dealing with. You're dealing with Allah, Allahu Ta'ala, who, you know, like, you know, he's the one who wrote rahmah for himself. He wrote rahmah for himself, right? So focus on who you're calling upon, sisters. Even if you don't feel worthy yourself, realize who is the one that you're calling upon. Focus on that, okay? But look, going back to what I was saying to you, so we want the forgiveness of Allah in this day, right? We know that Allah frees more people from the fire in this day. So if we know that, that's not just only for Hujjaj, okay? We have the opportunity to get that as well. So we want to try to seek nearness to Allah in this day as much as we can by making a lot of sincere dua, humble dua. Let yourself cry to Allah Ta'ala in this day. You know, do a lot of tawbah. Humble yourself down to Allah and really beg him and ask him to make you from the people who are saved from the fire in this day and include you in that forgiveness, right? Because, you know, you're like those people who are in Hajj, they've sacrificed so much. They've sacrificed their wealth. They've left their families. They've left, you know, they've given up so much to go to Hajj, you know. So this is what we want to do something as well. We want to do something from, you know, in our situation, we want to try to, you know, also try to strive and do something so that we can also be included in that, you know, that maghfirah and let's call it redemption that's offered on this day, inshallah. All right. What else can I say to you? So, yeah. So making a lot of dua, making a lot of zikr, this is what we should be focusing on in this day, making dua for the ummah, you know, anything you're going through, take this opportunity, making dua for your brothers and sisters, you know, as I said, like I said in the beginning, Allah Ta'ala frees more people from the fire than in any other day of the year in this day, right? So keep that in your mind, and inshallah, bi'idhnillah, you'll be one of them, bi'idhnillah, and ask Allah that we'll all be from them, inshallah.
Ameen. I think what's important too is not to belittle any deed that you do. So sometimes we think we have to do something so big, like read a whole juz of the Quran or, you know, give so much in charity. Don't belittle any deed. If you can only afford, say, to give $10 in charity, then that will still, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be something huge. If you can just, you know, read, if you're unable to read too much, read as much as you're able to do. It's all within your ability. So don't belittle any deed that you can do. Little things that pop up for me is, like, for example, just sitting after the prayer and making the tasbih like 33 times, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. That is immense reward in that. And reading, for example, Ayat al-Kursi after every prayer. They're little things that won't take much time from you, but they do weigh very, very heavily in the scales, inshallah. So that's that question. The next one is, what is a recommended schedule that you can suggest for that day to get the most benefit out of it? What would you suggest?
Okay, so look, first and foremost, you start off your day. Hopefully you're able to fast, inshallah. So you'd wake up early for suhoor, right? Mm-hmm. And you want, because the reason I say this is because you want to try to make your intention before the adhan of fajr, because you want to get the complete reward for fasting the entire day. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that will be the first thing you start out with. Then, now starting from tomorrow, a lot of people don't know this, but starting from tomorrow, we have what's called the restricted takbir begins. Now, the restricted takbir is when we, after each fard prayer, starting from fajr tomorrow, we sit after the prayer, after we say, you know, astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram, right? The normal couple of things we say. And then straight away, we start to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd, right? Say it a few, you know, 2-3 times after the prayer. And then you're going to be doing that after every fard prayer, starting from tomorrow, and that lasts all the way up until Asr prayer on the third day after Eid. I just want to mention that in here because I might forget to say it later. So that's another thing we do tomorrow. That starts from then. Now, the other thing also is how are you going to spend Arafah? You don't have to overcomplicate it. I find now some people finding out about, like, okay, Arafah, we've got to do these special things. But don't overcomplicate for yourself. You don't have to go crazy on Arafah. It's not like that. Just be relaxed. Try to spend your day in goodness, you know, doing your zikr, doing your, you know, takbirat. Because just to mention, so during these days, the sunnah is to say these takbirat specifically after the fard prayer starting from tomorrow. But besides that, during the day, you've got the normal takbirat where you're just saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, like throughout the day, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can be cooking and saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. You know, try to fill your home with the takbirat. Mm-hmm. If you've got some time to do some Quran tomorrow, that's great. You know, do some Quran. But the main thing I want everyone to focus on, especially after Asr tomorrow, so try to get everything out of the way in the morning or, you know, during the day, so that after Asr, you just go and sit somewhere quiet on your own. Just keep that time just for yourself, inshallah, you know, to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's your time for really making sincere dua from the heart, you know, and making tawbah as much as you can. And like I mentioned before, because the Messenger of Allah said the best dua is dua on the day of Arafah. So just like that's what, if you've been to Hajj, you'll know that, like, after Dhuhr, starting from after, because they in Hajj, they combine Dhuhr and Asr. Like, that's the sunnah to combine Dhuhr and Asr. And after they've done the khutbah, then that's when you, from that time onwards, you start doing the dua and, you know, doing, you know, tawbah and all that. So what I'm saying, as the day progresses tomorrow and you're getting closer to the end of, especially towards the end of the day, that's when you're going to be really focusing on making your dua. And, you know, and saying that dhikr I said before, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Like, get tired, make yourself tired, because the idea is just like in Hajj, how we want to break ourselves down, show our poorness to Allah, and because we want Him, we've got to do something, you know, we want to try to show how sincere we are to Allah, that we want that forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That's your aim, if you understand the aim. Okay, so that's basically, that's your main goal tomorrow. That's your main goal. Making dua, asking forgiveness from Allah, and just begging Him to make you from those who He chooses to free from the fire tomorrow. Bi'idhnillah.
That's okay, it. Beautiful.
It's simple. You don't have to overcomplicate it.
Yeah, that's amazing points. Thank you very much, Sister Sheikh Amjamaluddin. Other things I think I'll just that come to mind for me is to do what's in your ability. So, for example, if you have young children, as you said, don't overburden yourself, because you being a good mother that day and looking after your kids and doing what's in, you know, what's your main responsibility is also going to be rewarded, because it all goes back to your intention. But if you're able to do more, then, you know, for example, praying to Hajjud or giving in charity on that day, you know, breaking a fast of someone and things like that are really important things. So don't belittle any action, as I pointed before. Next question is for the sisters. I was going to – two questions here. One is first for the sisters about combining intention with missed days from Ramadan. And secondly, for the sisters that can't fast, what's your advice there?
Yeah, look, so – With regarding fasting your fad, now you can fast your fad tomorrow, but what you want to do is put your intention for the fad, okay, for the fad fast, and then you have the hope in your heart. And look, Allah Ta'ala Al-Kareem, like his, one of his beautiful names is Al-Kareem, the most generous, right? So your intention is that you're fasting your fad, but you've got the intention, like, that you're hoping for his reward of Arafat as well. And, you know, subhanAllah, it's not too, you know, inshallah, it's not too much from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Yeah, look, if you don't want to do that, you just want to fast it as a sunnah, there's also nothing wrong with that either. Like, you're allowed to fast sunnah before fad, okay? Because you've got still got plenty of time to fast those fads. So if you want to fast it as your sunnah, that's perfectly fine as well. And just make your intention that, you know, I'm fasting, you know, you're fasting, you know, tomorrow as your sunnah fast of Arafah. And, so for those who can't fast, I've just mentioned a whole heap of stuff you can be doing. But, I mean, well, if you can't fast, I would be trying to make it up through charity. So I would actually be looking for people, like looking for some projects that are feeding yes. poor Muslims, feeding even maybe fasting Muslims. But probably you can't find that as much now because we're not Ramadan. But, yeah, feeding hungry Muslims. Okay, so if you can find some projects feeding hungry Muslims, because their ways, like feeding the poor, you know, feeding the hungry, this is one of the greatest ways to get redemption, inshallah, from the fire, right? So if you can't get through fasting, you try through sadaqah. And yeah, so try that. And then you've got all the other things I said. You can, none of those things you're deprived from. Dhikr, dua, saying the dua of Arafah, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Like, none of us have got a barrier. Like, even if may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the perfect health, even if we couldn't even move all of our body, you know, we still can inshallah move our tongue. Okay, so yes. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah made, it's amazing how Allah made the lightest of deeds, the most easiest of deeds, and yet it's the most heaviest, they're from the heaviest in rewards, subhanAllah, especially in these days. So, and look how Allah made it so easy for us to enter Jannah, my dear sisters and brothers. Wallahi, He made it so easy for us in the most easiest of deeds. That shows you His gentleness with the believers and how much He really wants us to all to enter Jannah and be successful. Like, Allah wants us to be successful. He does not want us to fail. And if you look at the whole system of the Sharia, He set it up so that we really can't fail. The only one who's going to fail is one who really, really didn't even try. You know what I mean? Yeah, so look, and I just wanted to ask you, Rania, I'd love to hear about your experience, because I think it's really beautiful to share with the sisters and brothers what it's like to be an Arafah, because a lot of people haven't had that opportunity. And I think that if you can just try and sort of share a little bit about what it was like for you.
You mentioned about somewhere I actually came across the Al-Ihsan Foundation, where they're doing breaking the fast of a fasting person. So that's one organization you can go to. And as you said, if you can't fast yourself, if you break the fast of someone else, you also get the reward of the fasting person. That's right. So yeah, you can check them out. I'm not sure if it's too late to do that, but Al-Ihsan Foundation, I did see that there. And also, if the sisters intend to fast and they can't, they still get rewarded for their intention, which is huge. As you said, Allah is most generous. My experience with Arafah, so alhamdulillah, I've been twice, alhamdulillah. My first experience was very overwhelmed. I feel very, very overwhelmed. I remember there was so many people around, so crowded, and every tent had a microphone, and they're all, you know, making dua really out loud. And I just wanted to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. It was just too noisy for me, and I don't like too much noise. And so I went, started walking, and everywhere I went, it was just people. You couldn't escape. There was just too many people everywhere. I don't know how far I had to end up walking until some of the tents didn't have microphones, and I sat in a little corner and just made dua, sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is really, really humbling to be on Arafah, because there's nothing there. There's nothing fancy. It's literally just tents and barren land. There's no... I couldn't even remember seeing many trees or greenery or buildings. There's nothing to distract you. And that's what I felt really amazing about it, other than the noise that is from the mics. But other than that, subhanAllah, there's no worldly things that can distract you. Even the clothing that people were wearing, there's no like brand names or, you know, matching shoes. There was none of that. Everybody was just so simple. And you just felt, subhanAllah, like you're almost forgetting about this dunya, and it really, really reminds you of where your next destination is, the next life. And when I see the men walking with their ihram on, their white pieces of cloth that they had wrapped around their bodies, it straight away gives you this image of when you die and you're going to be wrapped as well in a white cloth. So, subhanAllah, I feel that Arafah for me was really teaching me to disconnect from this dunya and to connect to my next life with the reminder of death and the sun and the heat and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. It even reminds me of the scene on the Day of Judgment when I was reading about how we run to the prophets begging them to intercede for us, and they'll say they can't until we go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah, it almost felt like you just need to keep begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was my experience. How about you?
Yeah, so subhanAllah, again, alhamdulillah, I've been so blessed to have gone to Hajj twice myself as well. Like my first time I was living in Saudi when I went, that was many years ago. And then subhanAllah, after 25 years, I finally got the chance to go. And I mean, subhanAllah, all I'm going to say to everybody here is, if ever Allah opens a door for you, never, never, like, do not refuse. Go, because I keep saying to my children, if we did not accept that offer, like accept that invitation from Allah to go when that little door opened, can you imagine the regret I would have been feeling now? Because the year after that was COVID.
Yes,
I cannot get over it. Like, because I wasn't even intending to go, but my daughter had, you know, got married a couple of years ago, and she goes, you know, Mom, I want to go before, you know, things change and stuff like that. And my other son had started working. So I said to my son, look, she wants to go and you've got money now. We need to go. Like, I haven't been for 25 years. I need to go. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. And like, subhanAllah, he made the decision that, okay, yalla, we're going to go. So like, we went, you know, together, alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah, so Arafah, I mean, look, it was just an amazing day. Like it was a phenomenal day. Like it started off so boiling hot, as Arafah tends to be, like absolutely boiling hot, like you said. And you're just reminded straight away of Yom Qiyamah, okay? And so, you know, I'm the type, I like to be very private, like especially like on Arafah, it's a time, like Laylatul Qadr, I could never kind of be with others on those nights or days, you know? It's I've got to be very on my own, okay? So subhanAllah, it was really hot, and I was trying to find my little space as well, somewhere away from everybody else. And I remember I had to go to the bathroom, you know, you have to line up as you know. And then subhanAllah, I saw this cloud, like from nowhere, right? A small cloud. And I said to one of the sisters, I go, subhanAllah, imagine if it rained today, right? Anyway, give it say about half an hour after that, it started pouring. Okay.
It doesn't normally rain there.
No, it was incredible. And everyone was just in tears. Like everyone's just going out, raising their hands up to the sky, and they're just all making dua, standing there, because we were so hot. I can't explain how hot it was. And then it was like this rahmah was pouring down on us from the heavens, you know, and everyone's just making dua and crying and standing in the rain, you know, subhanAllah. Like, and anyway, so then it stopped, the rain stopped, and we were like, actually we were all drenched, and we were actually getting cold from the air conditioning. It was actually very sickening to hang out the clothes and try to get them dry. But anyway, well, after that, the thing was that because of the rain, it had cooled the atmosphere down so beautiful. And then, so we went outside, like we also, like anyway, for myself, I just went out to this place where like there was like this little garden with, you know, a couple of trees, and you could see the mountains and you could see the sunset starting to go down and stuff like that, like, you know, towards sunset, right? So it just was this beautiful. I can't explain to you. It was just the air was just so beautiful. It was how I felt that day. I swear, wallahi, I felt like it was the breezes of Jannah coming on us. That's exactly how I felt, as if like Allah's rahmah is just surrounding all of us, you know, in the land of Arafah, and the breezes of Jannah are surrounding us. I swear, wallahi, it's exactly like that. It was just absolutely incredible, you know? And you're just trying to think of every dua you can think of. And the main thing you're just asking for is, Ya Allah, save us from the fire, you know, make us from the, you know, from Ahl al-Jannah, and, you know, from the people who enter Jannah al-Firdaws, inshallah. But yeah, that's what it's like. It's like everyone's just so focused on getting that forgiveness of Allah. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just washes your heart, your brain, you realize, what is this life? What is this life? You know, what is our goal in this life? You know, it wakens you up. It wakens you up. It makes you realize, like, what have I been doing my whole life? You know, what have I been doing? And I've only got limited time, you know, it's, yani. So this is what I'm saying about, you know, this is the true spiritual retreat. Don't talk to me about spiritual retreats. Never talk to me about it unless you go to Hajj and you know, and then you'll know what a true spiritual retreat is.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing too is that you're in the footsteps of the great companions and the Prophet when you're on that land. Like, just to think that you're standing there, that was something that I couldn't comprehend, that I'm actually stepping on the same land that the Prophet, where the message of Islam was received, where the companions fought to bring us this deen that we have. Basically, went through so many trials and tribulations to bring us the Islam that we're carrying today. And subhanAllah, it was just really humbling and amazing to think that, especially when you're in the Prophet's mosque or going to the Rawda or in the Haram. And then even when you go to the Kaaba and you're in the Haram, just to think that Ibrahim alayhi salam rebuilt the Kaaba actually, and with his son Ismail, and so many prophets have been to that area, and we're following in the footsteps of the prophets. So it is an amazing experience, inshallah. We get to go again, and so do the viewers, and Muslims get the opportunity after this COVID thing finishes, which brings us to our last question, unless other viewers have questions. And that is, obviously with Eid, it's going to be very different this year. The question is, what do you recommend for the day of Eid, especially during lockdown? I thought I might start this one because I had a few little points for this one. Mm-hmm. So one of the points I had is just to remember that Eid is still Eid, even if you're in lockdown. So Eid is not necessarily a place or a thing. It's a day. It's a day. And wherever you are or whatever the situation is, Eid is still Eid. So you try your best to focus on what's in your control. So it's out of your control that you're in lockdown and that you can't leave and you can't do Salat Eid and, you know, you can't visit your family members and whatnot. But what is in your control? No. Are you, for example, able to, and this is a question that maybe you can answer, are you able to do Eid prayer at home with your family members, for example? Are you able, for example, to do WhatsApp videos with all the families and just do, like, you know, a sort of Eid get together on WhatsApp or through Zoom or something like that? Also, to make an environment for yourself at home. Just because it's in lockdown, it is a day of celebration. So however you can celebrate within that ability that you've got, celebrate within that ability. If you need to, for example, have a little party with you and your own family members, decorate the house, I don't know, do a little feast or whatever it is that you need to do, but make that environment for yourself at home, because that's what's in your ability. So that's little points that I have from me. And what you mentioned earlier as well, just a reminder that to do the prayers and make your takbir after each prayer, because that should be done on the day days of Eid. So what do you want to add to that, Sheikh Abdullah?
No. So look, just one thing to keep in mind is to remember that Eid al-Adha is part of these 10 days, right? So even the deeds you're doing Eid al-Adha is included in these days, which the reward for these, for the deeds done these days, is greater even than going for jihad fi sabilillah, right? Mm-hmm. But besides that, like pretty much what you're saying, you know, it's I advise people to try to do pretty much everything you would have normally done on an Eid day, mm-hmm. within the capacity that you've got. Okay. Yeah. So now let me start off from the beginning. So you want to keep the spirit of Eid alive. Okay. So from the time you wake up, when you first open your eyes, start your day with the takbirat of Eid, right? So start off saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, you know, because subhanAllah, it's amazing how those takbirat actually lift your spirit, They really lift your spirit. They lift your iman. Because, like, again, that's dhikr of Allah. And we know that whenever you do dhikr of Allah, that's increasing your iman. Okay? And what it does, I want you also to make your heart feel full of gratefulness to Allah Ta'ala for all of his blessings upon you. Now, what happens is when we focus on what we can't do, what we don't have, that also that actually generates ungratefulness. Okay, now Eid is a day for gratefulness. Focus on what you do have. All right. Maybe this Eid, I am not able to see people that I normally see. I can't go to the normal Eid prayer I go to. However, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me health. Allah has given me Allah Ta'ala is protecting me from so many misfortunes that people are going through around the world. You know, and this is only one Eid. Last Eid, alhamdulillah, in Sydney, we had Eid last, you know. And inshallah, this is not going to be the same every other Eid. It's just one Eid. Like, how many people are in prisons separated from their loved ones year after year and they don't have what we have? So let's focus on what we do have, okay? Mm-hmm. And that will help us to feel the gratefulness. Like, alhamdulillah, I have a healthy body. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to see. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to hear. Alhamdulillah. You know, if Allah's blessed me with children, alhamdulillah, I'm surrounded with my family, right? Or whoever I have in my life, you know, my friends, whatever. Focus on what you do have, not what you don't have, right? Now, also, it's, again, like you were saying about mindset, that is so important. So there are physical things we can do to get us into the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get up, get dressed in your Eid clothes. Put on nice clothes for Eid. Make yourself feel good. Make your house nice. Make sure your house is, like, tomorrow evening, clean your house up. Make sure you're not going to just like, oh, it's Eid, I'm in lockdown, so, you know, well, I won't bother cleaning up the house. I'm just going to let it. Like, don't do that, yeah, because this is about you feeling the happiness of Eid. And actually, let me say this, feeling happy on Eid is an ibadah. Allah wants us to be happy on Eid, okay? Allah made these Eids for us to have joy and feel joy. And so by you feeling joy, you're actually worshipping Allah by that joy. Right, so keep that in mind to try to, you know, generate that joy in your house, okay? And the other thing too is you want to try to bring happiness into to everybody. Yani, you want to generate, like, happiness in your home as much as possible, right? So what does that entail? It means you're going to try as much as you can to avoid arguing on Eid, you know, being in a bad mood. Especially we're going through a lot of struggles right now. Your children are, you know, we know the children are feeling that, right? The children are feeling that, and they really feed off our stress. So as much as possible, especially for Eid, we don't want them to feel too much difference. And especially when we want to try and make this day, because you know what? You could give your kids all the presents in the world, but if you don't have the right, like, if your mood is really, you know, you're just grumpy and screaming and that, what would be the use of all those presents? You know, your kids would much prefer you to be in a happy state, loving, spending time with them, you know. But look, people are asking about the Eid prayer. So, in fact, you can pray. According to the majority of fuqaha, if somebody misses the Eid prayer, you can pray it with your family in the home. Now, you've got some choices there. You can either pray it according to the normal description of the Eid prayer, which is doing the takbirat. So you're doing like 8 takbirat in the first rak'ah, and then you're doing 6 in the next rak'ah, right? So, but if you can't do it like that because you don't know how to do it, just pray 2 rak'ah prayer. And from the Sahaba who did that was Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu. He prayed with his family when he missed the Eid prayer. And like I said, the majority of fuqaha are of the view that if you miss the Eid prayer, it can be prayed, it can be made up for. Okay, so that's what we can do that. And I'm actually thinking, everybody, because I have a backyard, I'm thinking about, like, going out in the backyard, you know, getting my little Jama'ah, which is very small, and just, you know, praying the Eid prayer with my family. Like, I think it's all about being imaginative within the space you have. So, like, I'm thinking, you know what? Let's just get our prayer mats and let's just go outside. We never do that at home. And let's pray our Eid prayer in the backyard, and then I've got a little shop next door. I can get some kak from next door and have my kak, you know. And then, you know, you can turn on the mashayikh will be doing the khutbah on, they'll be doing it, like, you'll find it on Facebook, the khutbah being streamed. You know, you can listen to that. Besides that, during this day, giving sadaqah again, because Eid is a day of giving sadaqah. And then also you want to maintain the, because in particular the days of Eid are for maintaining blood ties. So now obviously you're not going to be able to visit, especially we can't go out of our LGA, right? So yes. You're going to have to do probably Zoom calls and stuff. We just have to do what we can, try to work within the framework we've got. And then, like you were saying, yeah, so you don't forget the takbirat. There's still takbirat to be said, like after each fard prayer. So you're praying your fard prayers after you sit, do those takbirat. And all of that is reviving. But, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. So on the Eid day, you still want to be doing your takbirat of Eid as well, right? Just like you normally do when you go into the Eid prayer. See, and that's just bringing all that Eid spirit into the house. All right, so that's basically, in a nutshell, what I can suggest for Eid. I mean, I wouldn't be cooking on Eid. It's up to you if you want to cook. But me, not. It's going to be takeaway for me. And I'm sure all the halal shops will be very happy when we're supporting their businesses by, you know, ordering our meals. But, like, for me, Eid is not a day for cooking. I like to just order my food in. I'm probably going to do a picnic in the backyard with the family. And then we'll probably sit and watch something in the evening and just, like, huddle together and probably do some popcorn or something, or some sahlab. It's good weather for sahlab.
Yes, it is. Really good weather for sahlab.
But the point is, it's up to us to make the mood.
Yes. Beautiful points. Thank you so much. Actually, as I was looking into this topic about, you know, when we said lockdown and Eid's going to be at home, we can't do what we usually do. And I'm reflecting upon the seerah, the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and incidents that they're faced that are similar to what we're experiencing. And one thing that came to mind was the three years of boycott that they had, where 3 years, people couldn't sell to them, couldn't buy to them. They were in, basically in a valley. They went through so much difficulty. So, subhanAllah, obviously our situation is a lot more easier than what they went through. But just to reflect that the Prophet ﷺ got through it, it was 3 years that he went through, exactly. You could say, equivalent to a lockdown. And the other thing that came to mind is that sometimes, as you said, if we focus on the negative, it's going to bring us down. But we have to focus on the positive. And the thing that came to mind was the story of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So if you call Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where the companions actually prepared themselves to go and do Umrah. And they were very excited, you know, like they're prepared to go and perform Umrah after so many years, over 6 years, that they hadn't gone to perform Umrah from the time that they left. And when they got there, they were unable to perform the Umrah. And a treaty was formed then, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And in that treaty, they were actually not permitted to perform the Umrah, and they had to go back and come back the following year. And so obviously if I put myself in that situation, I'd be so disappointed, just as we are now with Eid, and that we can't celebrate the way that we're used to. And subhanAllah, that treaty ended up being very beneficial for the Muslims. Even though some of the conditions in it, the companions weren't very, they were very disappointed with, but subhanAllah ended up being very, very beneficial to the Muslims, where the Muslims, you know, politics was able to spread. The Islam grew in that time. There was peace that was spreading at that time. So even though you perceive something to be difficult or bad, always focus on the positive and always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan, has a bigger plan. Just put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that this, what we're going through, it is a test, that we'd be patient with it, we'd be rewarded for it, and there could be a greater outcome. There could be a benefit by the end of that. Like, I'm speaking from my personal experience as a counsellor. I had no idea how to even do a Zoom session. I didn't even know, like, how to even get onto Zoom. And it's forced me to do, like, learn how to do these lives. As you saw, I got stuck at the beginning there. It's forced me to learn about, like, you know, getting more onto social media. This Eid, it could be connecting more with the kids, but there's got to be a benefit by the end of it. So just to keep focused, that don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. By the end of this, we may not know it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. That's what's important. So I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, Sheikh Jamaluddin.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I mean, going through tests, you have to realize it's actually it's something that really develops you. And it's an important part of your development as a believer. And I think the beauty we need to reflect upon here as well is the fact that, you know, we're not going through this for nothing. Like, imagine, the sad part is that the disbelievers, they're not getting anything out of these lockdowns, but we're getting rewarded for this. This is something counted for us, you know. It's not something that's wasted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. So we're getting forgiveness of our sins for this trials we're going through. we're getting, you know, we're getting hasanat for this. And imagine we're getting the hasanat for this during the best 10 days of the year. So if you're going to be tested with anything, then what better time to be tested for it? You know, within these 10 days, you know, subhanAllah. So just keep that in mind as well.
So we're just going to answer some questions here. One of the sisters has asked, if we're not praying because we're on our menses, do we still recite the restricted takbir at the specific times, example, after salah?
Look, just I would just say to you, recite those takbirat throughout the day, because these days are days, in fact, it's the next 3 days after Eid are also days of saying these takbirat, right? So keep on just reciting the takbirat throughout the days in general, like at any time. Okay?
Okay, good. Just seeing if there's any other questions there. If you have any questions.
I saw one. There was one sister was asking about what time to pray the Eid prayer. So to pray the Eid prayer, you wait till the sun's fully risen. So you're looking at around about 7, 7.30, something like that. Just wait till the sun's come up properly and then you can pray your Eid prayer, inshallah.
One question is, can somebody lead you in prayer twice, or can I pray on my own? It's one of the questions.
You can pray on your own, because you can just pray it as rakatain. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can pray it rakatain, or you can pray it jama'ah. Because if you've got a bit of a family there at your home, you can pray together as a jama'ah.
Okay, beautiful. I'm just checking if there's any more. Okay, someone asked about that. Yeah, you answered that one. If you have any other questions before we end off, please feel free to ask. Can you see any there, Sheikha? I think that's it.
I grabbed the ones I saw, yeah.
Yeah. All right, beautiful. Thank you so much. May Allah reward you, and may Allah accept from all of us our ibadah in these 10 days, inshallah. And hopefully, I'll be definitely in contact to do another live in the future, inshallah. Thank you to everyone who joined. Please feel free to reach out to Sheikh Jamal Adin with any questions that you have. And we'll end it there. Assalamu alaikum.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته